Yeah! All right, Al, I've got one for you. I know how much you liked when I put you on the spot about your home improvement question last segment, so I'm going to do it again. You ready? Yep. You ready for another one? The answer to this question I'm about to ask you can't be, well, I'm moving them back to San Diego. Okay? That can't be your answer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you own the Chargers for the next 10 seconds.
Okay.
You firing Brandon Staley or not?
I would give him one more year.
with an instruction sheet on when not to go for it and when to go for it?
Nope. I want the organization to fail, so I'm going to keep him there.
I knew we'd get back to it at some point.
I outsmarted the system.
This is you ultimately wanting the Chargers to, disintegrate and return to San Diego. But you'd let him stay just to torpedo the organization, or you think he deserves more time?
Actually, to be completely honest, I think anytime you have a coach, I mean, what are you going to do in a year? Like, you have to give a coach more time. I think if there's one thing, and use the Chargers as an example. I know there was a stat in this when Staley got hired. I don't remember it right off the top of my head. Remember, it was X amount of coaches in X amount of years. That's an awful sign of an organization, right? And I'm not saying everybody's got to be the Pittsburgh Steelers or everybody's got to be, but you got to give your coaches an opportunity to succeed and to fail. That's part of the process. Because, you know, who knows? Maybe he comes back next season and decides there's a balance to this. I don't need to be incredibly conservative, and I also don't need to be incredibly stupid, which is the word I would use. Let me find that middle ground, and now all of a sudden they win 11 games next year. That's not unrealistic, right? Like
they should have won 11 games this year.
They should have, right? They had a good enough season, good enough talent, an unbelievable young quarterback that they should be playing this weekend. They're not playing this weekend is kind of one of the bigger surprises just based upon where they were a couple of weeks ago.
We can talk the decisions that they made against Kansas City. I agree with you. I think it cost them the game. The decisions they made against the Raiders, I think the timeout at the end, I think cost them a tie, which ultimately cost them a spot in the playoffs.
Remember they almost lost that Pittsburgh game too on Sunday
night? Yeah, that's another good example too.
Yep.
The one that's unforgivable is your team being unprepared to play the Houston Texans. Yep. That's the one that's unforgivable. The Texans were terrible. They weren't really even trying to win a bunch of games. They're in some weird rebuild that only they understand. And they went out and put it on you. That's mm-hmm. the one that – I mean, you win that game, it doesn't matter what the Raiders did to you on Sunday night. That's the one to me that kind of jumps out. Speaking of the Chargers and the Rams and the Raiders, Amanda was our guest picker last week, right? Our boss, Amanda Brown, program director here at 710, Amanda Brown. 9 points.
Kind of baller.
The only game she missed was her one-point game, the Chargers. The Raiders obviously got that one done. I had a typical Travis week. I had 2 points. The only game I got right were the
consistent.
Steelers.
You're consistent.
Very consistent.
Very consistent.
You did it again, Al. 10 points. Perfect. 4 for 4. 10-point week for Alan Sliwa. You have 97 points. You're dusting the field. You're just pulling away. You just ran away with this.
I told you early on, because the beginning of the season, you had a couple W's, and let's just say you weren't the classiest amongst the win. You know what I mean? Like
Never will be.
You were high-stepping on the sidelines.
I was stomping the Sliwa logo.
You were stomping the Sliwa logo. It was, you're up 17 in the fourth quarter, and you know there's 18 seconds left, and you just kind of dribble it out.
Uh-huh.
You're pulling up for three. Pulling up from three. You're trying
I'm
to
open.
Say, well, I got some stats that I got to hit here. And then I hired a couple of bookies. Everything changed after that. Once I got the bookies, once the Palazzo sports book came
nice
into
place,
play,
by the
everything
way.
Changed.
Yeah, that's a good spot. Okay, so here's my question. Regular season is over. You dominated. Do we roll it into – do we continue the points? Do we add points? Do we make the playoffs more valuable? Do we start over? Do we keep it the same way? As the winner, you get to decide. How would you like to proceed through the remainder of the postseason? Because we have 4 weeks of football left, and we've got lots of things to do.
So how do we do this? We'll pick – again, like we pick less games? How does it work? Or we just
no,
still pick
so,
four games?
So this weekend we'll pick the four best games.
Yep.
Or we could open it up. We could pick every playoff game. We could kind of open it up, or we could just do four. Again, you're in charge of this now.
All right, this is what I think we should do. I think we should stay with pick four games.
Okay.
Okay. And then once we get to, okay, well, there's only
next
two
weekend,
games left or whatever.
Be fewer games, yeah.
It's okay. We'll just pick those games as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then, but I don't know how it's going to work when you get
down
towards the
Super Bowl. Are we adding
more
points because it's the playoffs? Are we going to add, instead of having 4-3-2-1, we could have 8-6-4-2?
I say stay 4-3-2-1, but we start over. Everyone's at zero.
Okay. All right, that's a good.
Everyone's
and then the
zero.
Super Bowl, once we get into conference championship week, there's only two games, and Super
yep.
Bowl, obviously, there's only one. We'll find some prop bets to throw in there as well.
Yeah.
There's always plenty of prop bets.
I say we reset it, and basically for winning the regular season, it means nothing. We just
right.
did. This was March Madness.
No, this was college.
This was
no.
It was literally college basketball.
This is harder to do. It's a longer haul. You have to be more consistent. You won, and you won convincingly. I'm not going to let you do the Sliwa aw shucks thing. That is a good win for you. You should dance around on my logo for lapping.
All
the
you
field.
Have to do now is if you went 0-20 in the season, is win your conference tournament. You're good. You get to play with everybody
That's
else.
True. Yeah, I'm going to be what is that? Like Wayne State or one of those schools that comes in there and
That's awesome.
Starts knocking down shots. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Do you like goldfish?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You didn't seem to like when Emily and I were discussing it, we were both like, no, let's break down the flavors and the colors and everything else. You seem like you're indifferent. This may not be the conversation for you.
No. Give the backstory here. What's the backstory?
The people that make goldfish. Not the actual goldfish like
Pepperidge Farm.
Pepperidge Farm. Little crackers.
Yep.
Little orange crackers. They're salty. They're cheesy. They're crunchy. They're delicious. And there's something that your mom probably put in your lunch when you're a kid and probably something you have a box of in your house right now. Well, they're going to have a new line called Goldfish Megabites, okay, that are targeted towards adults. I don't know if they're bigger or
– They're 50% bigger. That's what the selling
line is. So
just
eat twice as many as the regular ones. Same amount of goldfish going into Travis, right? Whether your goldfish is 50% bigger or I'm eating twice as many, I don't know why we have to adultify goldfish.
I'll tell you why. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it. All they did is say, hey, let's make these twice as big, and then all of a sudden this idiot Alan is going to start, you know, giving his opinion of whether he thinks it's the right size, it's not the right size. Kind of a good little marketing tool.
Do you want your Cheez-Its to come as the size of a license plate instead of the regular size now because you're an adult? I mean, 8-year-old Cheez-Its for Alan Sliwa are still delicious as 30-something Sliwa.
I don't know what to tell you, but, you know, the goldfish are good. They're good, right? They're a middle
You're
of pack.
Man.
They're a middle of the pack team, right? They are right now. They're 21-20. That's where they are right now. Okay, but Cheez-Its, I don't know what it is about. They're addicting. They're like,
what's the difference? They're both fried little cheesy, salty things. They're both great.
No, they taste different. They taste a little different.
Goldfish. I gotta vouch for the flavor blasted goldfish. If you've never had flavor blasted goldfish. They will become your new addiction.
Why are Cheez-Its addicting? Like, have you ever been able to say? Let me say, like,
salty, cheesy, crunchy. Your next question.
Okay, but let's use chips. Let's use chips as an example. I have a bag of Lay's,
yes,
I can only have so much. Like, I'm gonna feel sick. Like, I'm not gonna sit here just eating these chips all day long. I'm not gonna do that. Cheez-Its. Oh, I can sit here for. Even if I start feeling sick, I'm powering through it and saying, no, more.
Well, first of all, speak for yourself on the potato chips. Don't put me in your I'm going to stop eating potato chip camp because I'm not. If there's more chips in that bag, I'm going to eat them along the way. Those salty, cheesy, crunchy snacks, those don't have to be adultified. The thing you like, look, if you said to me, hey, Trav, you know what you really liked when you were 9? Cheetos. Yeah, I did. Guess what I like now that I'm not 9 anymore?
Snickers.
Cheetos.
And Snickers still sound pretty damn good.
Absolutely. Skittles, all of that stuff, it's still really good. We don't need to adultify any of these things. Just make sure you keep making them. You keep putting them right by the register at the liquor store, the grocery store, Home Depot, everywhere else. Because
I got a story for you.
I got it. I want those things as I walk out. What do you got for me?
Want me to tell now or you want me to kind of tease it and tell when we come back?
Well, let's see. Yeah, that's a good tease. We'll put it there. Plus, we got phone calls. We already got candy phone calls, snack phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. And plus You're the Grim Reaper. Alan Sliwa wants to fire people. We'll see whether or not the Raider guy gets to keep his job as well. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Slee, what do you think we spend most of our time talking about? Do you think that it's the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Rams, or food?
Because of you, food.
Good. I'll take that. I'll take full ownership of that. You said you had a story about what to do with the snacks.
Okay, so growing up, this is very common here. Growing up, Middle Eastern family, right? They come to the United States, and in at least the Middle Eastern culture, it was very common and still common. Liquor store is their business. You know, they own a liquor store. They work at a liquor store. Eventually, maybe they get an opportunity. Now they own a second one and this, and that's how – or it could be a gas station, whatever the case is. So
sure.
When I was growing up, my dad and my uncle owned a liquor store together.
Okay.
And anytime I'd have like a buddy over or something like that, bro, it was a full on order. It's like, Dad, all right, three Kit Kats, Starburst. We're gonna need these types of chips, a couple Gatorades, and
bottle of Wild Turkey.
And get, so my dad would just come home. First of all, he was like, bro, you know, every once in a while, why don't you throw in a vegetable in there and a sit up every, you know. Throw one
did
of those
he,
in.
Did he have a produce section at his liquor store that he was
no, he
trying
didn't.
To push
yeah,
you
no.
towards?
No, he wasn't pushing towards the produce section. But my buddy would come over, and there's a kid that just grew up right down the street who was my best friend growing up. And he's just, you know, a white kid. His name is Parker, coolest dude in the world. He has no idea what's going on. I'm like, yeah, just order. What are you getting? He's like, oh, I'll get a Kit Kat. All right, okay, yeah, I'll get a Baby Ruth, and I'll get this. My dad just come home with a bag, and it's just like it was Halloween, but with full candy-sized
full
bars and everything
yeah.
else.
None of this. This is chintzy, fun-size stuff. No. You're going king-size Snickers at the Sliwa household. I just realized something.
My dad was probably losing money at the liquor store because of my orders.
Did your dad have access to baseball cards? I mean, liquor store, it's where you'd go to get your baseball. When I was a kid, ride your bike to Rocky's Liquor in Pasadena. I'd get my baseball cards. I'd ride my bike back home, tear those things open. Did Mr. Sliwa have a secret stash of Topps 1994 that I could get
you
my
know
hands
what?
On?
That's a very interesting question. So I have a couple – I had cards growing up. I had a couple boxes. I still actually remember. I think I still have a box or two that's unopened sitting up in wherever it's sitting.
Let's
and
go.
I think –
come on over. We're going to open a few beers, and we're going to open those cards, and I'm going to have the time of my life. That's happening.
By the way, I think I have 39 Jerome Kersey cards. I don't know why. I'd always get Jerome Kersey. Okay.
Yeah.
I think Terry Porter was always on there as well.
Why the Blazers? Did he
– I don't know.
Was his supplier in Portland?
Who else I have there? I think a couple Sean Kemps, you know, whatever it was, right? But I can't remember. I can't remember if I got those from him or not.
Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Let's go to Ventura and Christian. Christian, you are on with Travis and Slee. What's up, Christian?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I want to weigh in on this snack issue we got going on here.
Okay.
As an adult, when you're, you know, as a kid, my parents didn't really buy a lot of snacks. So as an adult with money, I go ham. You know, I'm walking through the line. I see pudding, banana pudding, you know, chocolate pudding, Jell-O fruit cups. All that stuff is amazing to me as an adult. You know, with wine, Lunchables, they're quick, easy charcuterie, you know. it works. If you're ever in a pinch, you just, you know, buy a couple of Lunchables. You don't have to buy, you know, whatever. It's ham. It's got the cracker and the cheese. It's all you need. And then if you're doing Cheez-Its, like you guys are talking about, the extra toasted ones last forever. I had them for like 2 months. It's like 2 months. And we opened up, we found them in the back of the the cupboard, and they were still perfect. They were still fine. I couldn't believe it. So
they're useful.
Yeah,
also, they taste good. They're toasty. It's a little bit of everything there, Christian.
Well, thank you for the call, Christian. I don't have a box of snacks that lasts 2 days, much less 2 months, in the back of a cabinet, so I'll just take his word for that. The Oscar Mayer charcuterie/lunchable play is pretty interesting. Okay, here I'm going to set the scene for you. Hey, Slee, come on over today. We'll watch the game, and we'll hang out a little bit, and you know, I'll give you something to eat. And you come over, and on my little kitchen island in the middle of my kitchen is some lunchable crackers and cheese and ham slices. You calling me out for that or not?
No, I would just I'd 100% judge you. 100%.
You'd go home and tell Lady Slee, he gave me a lunchable.
I'd probably not eat it. No, I'd eat it. I'd take it down.
He does wine with them.
I'd make little sandwiches, you know, try to lunchables are great.
It's fantastic. All right. We were talking about you wanting to fire everyone. Rich Bisaccia gets to stay, right? He gets to stay in Vegas now that he got them in the playoffs because he did something that no one has done on that team since Jack Del Rio did it. John Gruden never got this team into the playoffs. The Raiders, this is their second playoff trip since they went to the Super Bowl against Keyshawn and the Bucks back in 2002.
Wow.
It's been a minute. That's just two playoff appearances. And he had his hands on the wheel. Look, they had to win four games in a row at the end of the season to get in. They won those four games in a row by a collective 12 points. That's a pretty good presentation to your boss as to why you should keep your job.
So it's funny because when this was all happening, I was more having the conversation like, you know, give this guy a second. I mean, they're having a little bit of success. Maybe, you know, sometimes it's the unexpected. When you go out and try to go, we got to go big game hunting. We got to go get that big time name to come coach our football program or, you know, our franchise, whatever the case is. I understand it. I think at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be a big name. Just somebody getting results. And I think
this
is kind of
getting the results, though. I mean, it seems to me that he got into the playoffs. He won some he won tough games, by the way. Winning in Indianapolis was a big win. Winning in the way that they did against Cleveland was a big win. And then, you know, Sunday night speaks for itself.
So that's the point that I'm making is that I don't think you always have to have – let's use the Raiders as an example. They went out and got a name. It was Gruden, right? They gave him a 10-year contract. I think that had more to do with the name and the history than it did with, are you a good person and a good fit for this franchise right now, and are you going to help build a winning culture and everything else? You don't have to go get a big name to go accomplish that goal. And I'm not, Trevor, remember last week we were talking about it, the Harbaugh conversation. Hey, well, listen, if Harbaugh is available, like, it was great what this guy did. Let's move him to the side. Harbaugh's going to come in. I heard Ireland talking about it with Mason, who is a Raider fan, that it doesn't sound like there were a lot of people saying, yeah, Bisaccia is the guy. Like, this is the guy that's going to be here. I think he's 100% should be in consideration for the job, and I don't care that he's not a name. That's okay. Are you getting results or not? They won four games in a row to get to the playoffs. They're now in the playoffs. Maybe this game against Cincinnati will determine it. Maybe the game against the Bengals, if it's a close game and they fought like hell and their season ended 27-24 on the road, maybe that helps them. Maybe if they're blown out, it goes the other way. Or maybe if they win the game, now all of a sudden is, well, what are we going to look like if we go out there and try to get a new coach who won five games in a row in the NFL, won us a playoff game as well, and you know the history of the Raiders, this is not a common feat. So with that in mind, I think it's a very interesting and he should be a serious candidate.
You need to know what you're going to do before a game is going to swing in one way or the other. I remember when SC was like, should we fire Clay Helton, should we not? And then it's like you're waiting for the next game to decide. Have an idea. I'm going to go back to what the Rams did when they first came back to L.A. They had Jeff Fisher as their head coach, and they wanted someone that had been through a relocation before. Jeff Fisher was the head coach of the Houston Oilers when they relocated to Nashville and became the Tennessee Titans. He knows what that entails. So to have him with his hand on the wheel during that transition, fine. I get it. So you get through the transition, but it was very clear that team was not going anywhere. They weren't good. They weren't going to go to the playoffs. They didn't have a ton of spark or energy. Then they go into the process. Was there anybody unless you're like deep Adam Schefter insider level guy that was real familiar with who Sean McVay was, I don't think the answer. I think the answer is pretty obvious. No, right? Yeah. There weren't people saying, you know who they should go? They should go get the offensive coordinator from Washington. Bring Sean McVay in. Sean McVay, he's 30 years old. He's a wunderkind. Bring him in. No, but Les Snead knew what he was doing. He knew the guy that he wanted. He and the Rams brass, they went through the process, brought him in and said, you know what, that's the right guy for the job. When they hired him, everybody went, who? How old is he? What? It was exactly the right guy for the job. That's what they need to do. Every team, not just exclusive to the Raiders, but
couldn't
every
agree more.
Team needs to go through the process of, we don't like what we have, let's start looking around. I've identified these two guys, four guys, 10 guys, however many guys it is, and bring them in and see what they look like. Bring them in and talk to them about their philosophies. Bring them in and see what their players' reactions are to them and go through it that. Not just, oh, hey, John Gruden's a big name. He used to go, let's give him 10 minutes. That was a terrible decision, and it was a disaster. It's a name, but it didn't work.
Let me give you a good example. SC, Lincoln Riley's a big name, but he's the right coach. You know, there's a combination mm-hmm. of the two. Listen, if there's the right coach who just happens to be a really big name as well, fantastic, great. But don't let that determine who you're hiring. Well, is this a popular guy? What will the media say, or what will the fan base say if we hire this guy? They might like him in the beginning, but if he's not getting results, you just kind of you're running in circles. And you know, obviously, the Raiders are going to have some decisions to make on that.
All right, so we got some people that want to weigh in on their snacks on Twitter. This is important because we're talking about snacks you liked as a kid that you like as an adult. There's a whole nother lane too, Slee. A whole nother kids snack lane that we need to break down. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, congratulations to Luis Vasquez from Venice Beach. He is the winner of the Genesis Invitational tickets. Al, he and a friend can go on out and watch that tournament, and they are entered into the contest to try to win a chance to go play Riviera Dream Foursome with Team ESPN LA. Not a bad prize. Congratulations to Luis Vasquez of Venice Beach.
We've been giving away some pretty damn good prizes.
I'll say we've got Lakers
Station's
coming up
been
on
coming
Thursday.
Through here, yeah,
yeah, and the look, Lakers are having kind of a middling season, right? It is still such a great day or night or what. It's just going to a game, and this can I be super cheesy for a second?
Sure,
it's still awesome. Every time I walk in this, Emily hears me say this every time, and I can almost feel like she starts to roll her eyes at me. Like every time I sit down at the set, I'm like, this place is bonkers. Every time I walk into one of those Rams games, I'm blown away by it. Same thing with the Lakers. They've been at Staples/Crypto for 20 years. It's still awesome.
Well, it's not even just that. I mean, we're in the middle of this run with LeBron. You know, like we're in the middle of this. He's having the type of season where it is must-watch TV, and there's a lot of times that it's also the matchup. They had Trae Young, if you remember, on Friday, right? They had Ja Morant on Sunday. It's really, really cool to see some of these other squads in the NBA that got young players or even some of the veteran teams. And, oh, yeah, LeBron's playing in each one of these.
Yeah, it's not – he's still that guy. He's just ridiculous. All right, couple of tweets here. This is from Josh Bentram. He says, I've never eaten at Arby's. My hero, Travis Rogers. It's not like a political stance or anything. I just never have – it's never lined up right. Like, every time I've wanted something, there's been another option, and I've gone another way. So, I don't know, Josh. It's just not my thing. There's Jacob.
They have good curly fries.
That's what I've been told.
That part is, yeah.
Everybody is on the curly fries, so maybe that'll be my entry point. Jacob in the OC. I'm not telling you have to try Arby's, and I appreciate your streak, but – how is it you, as a fast food connoisseur, never ended up at Arby's? It seems so improbable. The impossible happened. Needs its own Vin Scully observation. Is there one, Al, that you've never been? I mean, never been. Never stopped to get a Coke. Never stopped to pick up the fries, a sandwich, or anything. Is there? Do you have one of those?
I haven't been to a But I've been before. I haven't been to a Del Taco in, I don't know, 15 years. I haven't been to a Taco Bell in forever. But
really?
But it doesn't mean that I haven't been there. It's just I haven't been there any time recently.
You need to go out and have 14 beers, and then you'll end up at Taco Bell. That's the formula for doing that. That's fine. It's the way that it goes. Paul Velasquez writes, in true fat guy fashion, I'm cooking some hot dogs to eat while I'm grilling burgers, inspired by Travis. Stop this man, Alan Sliwa. Paul's asking for an intervention.
You inspired a lot of people, man. You inspired a lot of people.
It's the perfect appetizer. You got the burgers on, the chicken, maybe got some steaks, maybe you're grilling some salmon. Just throw a couple of hot dogs on that top rack. They'll warm up nice while the rest of it's cooking. It's a perfect way to start your day.
Can I tell you, you know how we were, and now that you kind of talk food here, and we got all these games coming up this weekend, so there'll be a mix of all that. You know, you obviously got to have a good food set up for the weekend and everything else. Can I tell you, I'm looking at these matchups. I just go to the NFL schedule. I don't know when I've been this excited about the NFL. Every game is a good game. Every game is a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, the Philly-Tampa one doesn't
That's okay.
get me cranked up, but the rest of them are pretty darn good.
Okay, but let's just say this. If Philly-Tampa is the worst game, you're watching Tom Brady. Like, that's the worst game on the schedule is you're watching the
not
greatest
because of, Tom,
of
it, because
all time?
I just really get a sense it's not going to be a particularly close game. The other, what are there? There are, how many we got six games, right? The other five, I think anything's in play. I don't think there's anything out of – maybe the Steelers would be a bit of an upset, but I feel like the rest of those games are going to be pretty competitive, Al. The Rams and the Cards,
okay.
I don't know. They played each other twice.
Let me go down the list. Let me go down the list, right? You got Vegas, Cincinnati. Okay? So Raiders and Cincinnati. I don't know if this is going to end up being a close game or not. It's not like Cincinnati is this unstoppable team. That's certainly not the case. Raiders are on a four-game winning streak. It's a 1:30 game on Saturday. That's all I care about is that 1:30, there's a game on Saturday. You got Patriots and Buffalo at 5:15 on a Saturday night. Sunday, Philly and Tampa, I agree with you. That's probably going to be the worst of the games. San Francisco and Dallas after that, Pittsburgh and KC, and then Arizona and LA. What are we doing here?
By the way, I'll have a Jason Kelsey jersey on for Philly. I will go Deebo Samuel for the San Francisco 49ers because we need one of those two teams to win. Mm-hmm. If the Rams take care of their business against the Cards, then either San Francisco or Philly goes to Green Bay. If you're a Rams fan, you don't be looking at that. It matters a great deal.
Yeah, it does.
If Philly wins, they go to Green Bay. If San Francisco wins, they go to Green Bay. The only situation that has the Rams round two in Green Bay is if all the
Tampa
top seeds win.
Dallas, yeah.
Right? If
yeah.
the top seeds win, then you just, you know, obviously one plays four, two plays three, right on down the line. But that you need to be a Philly fan this weekend if you're a Rams fan. You need to, as hard as it is, you need to be a San Francisco 49er fan this weekend if you are a Rams fan to take them out.
So this is why, you know, Sunday, when you and I were having the conversation yesterday, that's why that game was so big, is now you're looking for help. Now you want – you know how you said that – you were saying that making this case yesterday, you were talking about how eventually you're going to have to play the Packers. Eventually you're going to have to play at Lambeau. You're going to have to play these teams anyways. But you and I, you know, one of the cases I was trying to make why it was so key on Sunday, why you can't blow that 17-0 lead, why you have to make those decisions to go for the win, is kind of a scenario like this. They could potentially back in, like you said. If San Francisco beat Dallas this weekend, you surprised?
No.
I'm not that surprised at
all. No, I wouldn't be. So, I mean, surprised, yeah, but I mean, not blown away surprised.
I don't even think I'd be surprised. I think it's going to be a good game. Let's put it that way. I think it's going to be a close game.
Like a different team against the Rams than they do everybody else. You know what I mean? Like if you watch them play some of their other games this season, they're not a bad team. But they don't. The way they look against the Rams, I don't know how they ever lose a game.
But that style of football in the playoffs, that's the pedigree. That's the pedigree.
That's
true. You know, that kind of that smash mouth football, hold possession for 8 to 10 minutes on a drive. But the reason why I bring that up is because they could back into potentially avoiding the Packers, but they would have avoided the Packers if they had taken care of business on Sunday.
Or at least postponed it. You're right.
Postponed it. That's what I mean. Postponed it. That's the way
it goes through Green Bay unless somebody does you a favor. But I'm with you. Better late than early. Here's a question. When you said something, you're talking about the schedule.
Yep.
1:30 on Saturday is the first playoff game. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Can't wait. Do you plan the menu accordingly? Like, do you the two Saturday games? You get a lunch game, you get a dinner game.
Yep.
Is the menu like? Is there a build? Does lunch connect to dinner, and does Saturday connect to Sunday? And by the time you get through three games on Sunday, and you have the Monday night game, SoFi Stadium, are you back to like midweek work stuff? Are you having your fish and your vegetables? The weekend is over. Is your tailgate from Monday night a little different? These are the questions that keep me up at night.
Saturday, first of all, you know, it's shot for me. Lakers are in Denver, so they got the Saturday.
You should
night
call
game.
In sick and watch football.
I can't. I did that three times last week and still did the show. So now they're going to be like, well, if you can get through it then, you can get through it now. But Sunday's an interesting one. Sunday, the 10 a.m., the 1:30, the 5:15, that's going to be interesting how you – I'm going to eat big in breakfast and then eat big in lunch and then I'm going all in on dinner.
Breakfast burritos for the 10 o'clock game on Sunday, right? Load them up with your bacon, your sausage, your potatoes, chorizo, whatever you want to put in there. Then just go wings and nachos at lunch, and then at night you could go like steaks and burgers and dogs. Just go nuts for one day, and then you can dial it back down on Monday for the Rams and Cardinals. You can do salmon and steamed
vegetables. Don't eat till Tuesday. Don't eat till Tuesday.
No, I never skip a meal. It could kill a man. You need to muscle through these things. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The Dump coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, Al, I want to read you a quote from Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, who's been the head coach of the Steelers since 1953, if my research is correct.
He's
been there a very long time,
yep,
and continues to have nothing but winning seasons. It's pretty remarkable. He was asked if he watched the Raiders and the Chargers, and he said, I dozed off. I knew I had a work day waiting on me, and I assumed that I had a work day waiting on me. I think at one point the Raiders were up 15, and that number made you feel somewhat comfortable. I'm probably better off not having watched it. Would you rather watch the thing that's going to determine your outcome or just stick your head in the sand and pretend, I have no control over this, I can't stand to watch it?
Something like that, like Tomlin's situation. There's been Laker games in the past, you know, growing up, where I'm like, I can't watch it. I cannot watch a game. I'm too nervous to watch this freaking game.
Jerry West used to leave when he was the GM.
That's right.
He'd leave. He would be getting his car and go drive around the city because he couldn't stand it anymore.
What was it? Wasn't it, I'm forgetting his name, the A's, Billy Bean, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it, at least for the movie, the Moneyball movie, right? Wasn't it Brad Pitt who would go do a workout or he would do anything other than watch the game because he was too nervous? I get it. I kind of understand. I mean, Tomlin's situation, Raiders went up 15. No way this is going to end up in a tie. And then next thing you know, they're in overtime.
I think in this situation, I could watch it because the odds – look, the NFL has 272 games, okay?
Yeah.
You know how many of them ended in a tie this season?
One. Yeah.
The odds of getting a tie are really, really incredibly low.
It almost happened in the final two games.
No, I would be okay watching that, but if I knew that I had to win or lose, like I need the Raiders to win to get in. I don't think I could watch it. I would be, why did he call that play? I couldn't do it. You mentioned something. I have a pet peeve. Can I get this off my chest?
Sure.
You mentioned the movie Moneyball. Good movie. Mm-hmm. Okay? I would never say that I know Billy Bean, but I've met Billy Bean a few times, and I like him. Okay? So I like the movie. I like Brad Pitt. I loved the book by Michael Lewis. All of those things. So I've stipulated my affection for the story. The movie leaves out, hey, the Moneyball, it works, right? You know, David Justice, home run, Scott, Barry Zito, Tim Hudson, and Mark Mulder were the three best pitchers in the American League. That may have had something to do with the fact that they won 20 games in a row as much as they'd made Scott Hatterberg a first baseman. Can we at least throw in
awesome.
The fact that they had
why would they leave that out?
I'm watching this movie like they had the Cy Young Award winner and two other All-Stars in their rotation. We're going to mention this at some point, right? This is going to be mentioned at some point.
Who needs pitching?
Right?
Give me an example where pitching is important.
To this day, you're flipping around, right? You see Moneyball, and I'm like, oh, it's a good movie. I like it. And then I'm like, oh, right. Zito, Mulder, and Hudson never get mentioned in this movie. Drives me crazy every single time. Amazon is discussing adding Marshawn Lynch to their Thursday Night Football crew that already has Al Michaels on it. You ready for some Marshawn Lynch on your Thursday Night Football, Slee?
Are you kidding me? I would take. Here's the only thing that bothers me is that it's Amazon. You know what I mean? Now we're going back to you remember that time.
This is a Bezos thing for you.
Do you remember
forgot.
You remember that time where Bezos pretended to go to space?
You
and
hate
then
him.
Within
Who
the
do you
same,
hate more?
Within
Guys
the same
that go
day,
for it on fourth down or Bezos?
No. It's not that I hate these people, but to say you went to space and in the same day you cannot say you're going to space and then in the same day take your car through a car wash. Like, that can't happen all in the same 24-hour period. It happened in, like, how long was he up there for? 12 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, but I do love the Marshawn Lynch. Who does not love Marshawn Lynch?
Okay.
I'll take that all day long.
Forgive me, Marshawn, for jumping to this, but I Marshawn would bring a certain buzz that I don't think a lot of typical broadcasters would, and maybe some language that maybe some certain broadcasters
would.
He's
unapologetic himself, you know?
Do you want a lane? Like, maybe it's on Amazon and a streaming service. Maybe it's an alternate broadcast like the Manning Cast or whatever.
Yep.
Would you like to see a lane where guys can use four-letter words when they're calling the game? Like, holy blank, did you see that interception from Jalen Ramsey? Are you bleeping kidding me? But actually put the words in there. Would you like that?
Less the broadcasters, more the players and the coaches. Like, I think more of that to me would be interesting, would be more entertaining. They're actually on the field. They're feeling a certain emotion. If, a broadcaster is dropping the F-bomb, I don't think that's going to, like, change it for me either way. But if I can hear a player, Tom Brady, cursing out the other team, that's pretty damn good.
I'd sign up for that. All right. You watched the national championship game last night.
Yep.
I don't have a better question for this, but what's up with Andrew Luck? What's going on there? He looks a little different than he used to when he was a player.
I actually
I like that.
Well, you read off a tweet to me earlier. What were some of the tweets? How were they describing him?
I saw
because they're really good descriptions.
One of my kids showed me a meme last night with Andrew Luck. He goes, "It looks like he's now running a local microbrew where he tells you to try the IPA. It's a lot more fun on your palate." That's perfect.
That's an unbelievable description.
He looks like he's enjoying his life. Good for him. I mean,
he doesn't look like
an NFL player anymore.
Looks like he could be up in Northern California as well, like one of those like the Yosemite Park or something, just kind of checking off, like, okay, did you pay for your parking? One of those.
Park ranger?
Yeah, well, ranger action.
He looked like a Civil War general when he was playing for the Colts. The dispatches from the battlefield were always pretty great. 76ers looking to package Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons in a trade. Can you believe we're January 11th and Ben Simmons still has not played this season? That's bizarre.
Bizarre, and can you imagine? I know Michael and I were talking about it last week. Lakers were playing the Hawks, and there were some rumors about the Hawks and the Sixers doing some type of a deal. It's just funny to me if he ends up in the Eastern Conference with like a team like the Hawks, and he has to go back to Philly and play a couple times a year as well. That's what I'm waiting for. At this point,
I'm sure the Philly fans will treat him with a great deal of respect upon his return.
You think they'll do a video for him?
Like a video montage?
Yeah, just like something, you know?
Him not going to the basket. Him.
Can you imagine if they did that? If they did a montage of like the times he wouldn't shoot, the times that he wouldn't shoot a three?
If anybody would do it,
Philly.
It would be Philadelphia.
It's Philadelphia.
Yeah. Look, you've said
this
before.
It's not a bad idea either. I mean, he kind of turned his back on the team. He felt like the organization turned their back on him.
Never have two sides who both had a ton to lose and a ton to gain handled something worse than the Sixers and Ben Simmons have handled this together. Everybody's wrong. It's pretty rare where everybody gets it wrong.
Well, and here's the funny thing, too. I think as us, just consumers, no affiliation with Philly, even all of us are, like, exhausted. But like, bro, trade the guy. Like, can everybody move on?
Yeah, no.
No.
We'd rather him rot, and I'd rather never play basketball again. How do people find the pod, Slee?
ESPN app or on iTunes. Just search the Travis and Sliwa Show. Catch the full 3 hours Monday through Friday.
All right, I can't wait to see what other foods we get into. And there's a very special birthday for you tomorrow, Slee, that we're going to talk about. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. We'll see you then.